Good evening, everybody. The last couple of nights, we spent a lot of time talking about the proper halachos and venues for a person to actually be mispalav for a cholah. So now I just want to talk about, continuing on that theme, I want to talk about what's the proper way to be mispalav for a woman. Now, what kind of question is that? What's the proper way to be mispalav for a woman? We should be mispalav for a woman who's sick the same way we would be mispalav for a man who's sick. That's obviously the hanachah pshuta. It's obviously our original thought before we look into anything. However, it's a little bit of a question, as we'll see in a minute. The Yehi Ratzon, as we know it, the one that we recite after we say Tehillim, let's say for a chola, is Shetishlach Meher Refuah Shleimah Min HaShamayim. What do we say? The Ramach Evarav Ushasa Gida. That is the classical nusach that we find in all the Siddurim and in all the Tehillims. That's the nusach that we have in the back. However, if you look in the Gemara in Becharas Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us a little bit of a strange story. The Gemara says that one time the Talmidei Rabbi Yishmael, all the students of Rabbi Yishmael, there was a woman in the neighborhood who was a zona. She was doing improper things. And the Gemara says, not clear, all the Mefarshim over there have a difficult time explaining how this ended up in the hands of the Talmidei Rabbi Yishmael. But leaving that detail out, basically this woman who was acting inappropriately was Chayiv Misa. Right? The government decided she should be killed. That was the punishment back then. So the Gemara says that the Talmidei Rabbi Yishmael, the question is, why were they put in charge of administering the Misa? Okay, be it as it may, but basically, the Gemara says over there that the Talmidei Rabbi Yishmael saw this as an opportunity to do an autopsy on the body and actually learn about the human body. So the Gemara tells us over there that they took this woman who was Chayiv Misa anyway, and they killed her quickly, they made sure she didn't suffer, but then the Gemara tells us that they dissected her to figure out what exactly is going on in the human body.
What's that have to do with someone who's Chayiv Misa?
Oh, so that's a question, whether there's an Isra B'Zayin HaMeis on a non-Jewish body or not.
Oh, non-Jewish.
Yeah, it seems that it was a non-Jewish body. But basically, so there's a lot of questions on the story. Why were they the ones who were in charge of the Misa? What was going on? But basically, the Gemara tells us that they ran an experiment and they figured out how many Evarim are in the body of a woman, of a female. So the Gemara comes out that after all their experiments, it turns out that a woman has 252 Evarim. Resh Nun Beis. Shtikel Shver, Rambam, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tumas Meis. It has what to do with the halachas of Tumas Meis, but the Rambam writes 251. So it's a little bit questionable, the Kesef Mishnah and all the other Nosukelim, trying to figure out where the Rambam gets the strange number from. The Gemara tells us clearly in Becharas Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis that in fact it was 252. Now we know a man has 248. Ramach Evarim, that's what we have. So that's the question, how in the world can we recite when we say, hey, Yehi Ratzon for a chola who's sick? So how do we say Yehi Ratzon Shetishlach Meher Refuah Shleimah Min HaShamayim LeRamach Evarav Ushasa Gida? Or we'll say for the woman LeRamach Evareha Ushasa Gida. How do you say such a thing if a woman in fact has 252 Evarim, as the Gemara says very clearly there? So let's just look. There's a little bit of an interesting discussion in many of the poskim in different places. I just collected them, and it seems this is not such a simple idea as it comes to many different halachas. Number one, when it comes to marching a chassan and kala down the aisle. So we all know that the parents generally, right, in most circumstances, the parents walk the child down the aisle and they each hold a candle. So there's many discussions in the poskim and the achronim why this is the minig. But one of the achronim writes that the reason why is with ner begematria is 250, nun resh, higher mathematics. So 250 plus 250, two neris equals 500. And they say that that's ish and isha, right? Ramach and resh nun beis together. A man has ramach evarim, a woman has Resh Nun Beis Evarim, those together are 500. So that's what one of the Achronim says. This is why the minhag developed, that we walk down the Chasan and Kala with two candles on each side, because each candle is 250, and if you put the two things together, we have an equal of 500, and that's Ramach and Resh Nun Beis. Interesting. Now, Arizal writes in his Siddur, an interesting idea as well, that this is the reason why a person should have in mind when he says, Re'eina Ve'anyenu. So that's the Rashi Tevis is Resh Nun Beis, Re'eina Ve'anyenu. So he says we're supposed to have in mind the women, when the women have tzaras, we should have in mind Re'eina Ve'anyenu, because that's referring to them. Now what in the world that means? Not really sure. You have to be more familiar with the Kisvei Arizal than I am, but I'm just pointing it out. It's an interesting thing. Now where do we find it in real halacha? So the Magen Avram points it out in none other than Hilchos Yom Kippur. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch says that there was a minug in the times of the Shulchan Aruch, some people still have this practice, that before Yom Kippur came in, everybody would light a candle for themselves. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. So the Gemara tells us that sometimes the Ner is the way we refer to a person's soul, a person's body. So the Shulchan Aruch says that that's why the Minhag developed, that we light a candle in Erev Yom Kippur for each person who's alive. So then the Magen Avraham points out over there from the Maharil, why Bedavka do we light a Ner? Why do we call a Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam? Why is a person's Neshama compared to a Ner? So the Ma'aril writes, because a ner is begematria 250, right, nun reish, and he says that ramach evarim of a person plus his ruach u'neshama. So you have ramach evarim plus ruach u'neshama. So it's 248 plus 2 is 250. That's why the minhag developed that we light a candle before Yom Kippur. Okay, very nice. But then the Magen Avraham points out a very interesting chiddush, that since a woman has reish nun beis evarim, this minhag does not apply for women. That's what Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Yom Kippur. Very interesting din. And this is actually quoted in the Mishnah Berurah Lahalacha, that women do not have this minhag to light candles on Erev Yom Kippur. Obviously, they have to light the candles mishum the other takana of lighting candles, which is a big discussion. Two minhagim, should you bedafka light the candles in the bedroom or dafka light the candles not in the bedroom? That's a whole discussion. But basically, talk about the Yom Kippur time. But these special minhagim of lighting candles for each individual in the house, the Magen Avraham quotes in the Ma'aril that the minhag is that the women do not light it because, in fact, the numbers don't add up for them. That's an interesting application of this idea of Reish Nun Beis Evarim. And in fact, we find it as well, that the Rosh in a Sefer on Chumash in his Das Zakenim points out that he's not really sure what's the pshat in the Yerushalmi in Sota. The Yerushalmi tells us in Maseches Sota, as we all know, the Parsha of Sota, if a woman does something wrong, or there's a question if she did something wrong, so we have to bring her to the Beis HaMikdash, and they go through the whole process, and they feed her, they drink, she drinks the water, the Mayim HaMa'arim, that's what the Pasuk calls it. So the Yerushalmi writes over there, why is it called Mayim HaMa'arim? What's so bitter about it? Ma'arim usually means cursed or bitter. What's so bitter? So the Gemara says Ma'arim because it curses. Ma'arim means it curses both the man and the woman. That's why it's called Ma'arim in Lashon Rabbah. So the Yerushalmi points out over there, why is it called Ma'arim? So he says because Ma'arim is Begematria Ramach twice, and since it's going to give a curse to the Ramach Ivarim of the man and the Ramach Ivarim of the woman, therefore we call it Mayim HaMa'arim. That's what the Yerushalmi says. It's not a Pshetel, it's not a Balaturim, this is the Yerushalmi itself. So the Rosh asks in a Sefer on Chumash, I don't understand. The Yerushalmi says the reason why this is called Mayim HaMa'arim is because it curses the man and the woman, and each one of them has Ramach Ivarim. What do you mean? We all know the Gemara says in Mechoros Daf Mem Hei that is not in fact the case. That's not the Metzias. We know that a woman has Reish Nun Beis Evarim. This is, based on this background, this is what the Shoal had in mind when he sent the Shaila to the Minchas Alaza, the Munkat Rebbe. He had the following suffix. We all know the Medrash says that in Kriya Shema there are Reish Mem Hei Tevos. In Kriya Shema there are 245 words. So how do we fill up the gap? How do we fill in the hole of making it 248 connected to Ramach Ivarim? So we all know in Shulchan Aruch it says a person is supposed to say Kel Melech Neman. If he's davening in Shul, he's supposed to say, just listen to the Chazam when he says Hashem Elokeichem Emes. And Bedavka, the Achronim say you're not supposed to say Kel Melech Neman because then that might constitute a hepsik in between the Ava Rabba, the Hamavarach Asamis, I'm sorry, the the Abuch Abraham Yisrael B'Yava, thank you, and the Kriyashma, so that's not supposed to be any hepsik over there. So therefore, when a person is davening Shachos, generally he doesn't recite Kel Melech Neman, he's supposed to listen to the Chazan when he says Hashem Elokeichem Emes. But either way, it seems clear in Shulchan Aruch that a person should be careful, based on this Medrash, to really have 248 words in the Kriyashma. So that was the Shaila. It's an interesting idea, they say, from the Chidah. The Chidah writes that this is the Pshat, Vayikach Ramach B'yado, Pinchas goes to kill Zimri, so they say, Vayikach Ramach B'yado, he takes Reish Mem Ches, he took the Kayach of Kriyashma, the 248 words of Kriyashma, and he went and he killed Zimri. Okay, also, people are throwing around these ideas, but I'm not sure what it means, but when it comes down to Halacha over here, so the Shoyal asked the Minchas Elazar, what would you say, is a woman Mechuyiv to also add in Hashem Elokeichem Emes, or Kel Melech Neman? Should we assume, well, it's meaningless for her, because 245 words versus 248 words, either way, doesn't add up to her Evarim, which are 252. So that's what the Shoyal asked in the Minchas Elazar, an interesting Shaila. Maybe we should assume that a woman is not Mechuyiv to say Kel Melech Neman, and a woman is not Mechuyiv to listen to Hashem Elokeichem Emes. A big chiddush, the Minchas Elazar is dochet. When he writes his tshuva, he comes up with his own reasons why he thinks we shouldn't think like this, but basically, it's an interesting idea. The Poskim also have a Shaila, what do you say? Let's say if a person, Rachmana Litzlan, has an amputation. So what do you say? Ramach Evarv, it's not really applicable to him. The Mati Ephraim has a similar suffix that he says in all the Tehillims, the Nusach is when you rim spalal after you say Tehillim. So it says, part of the Tefillah is on Melosh no Seinu Bahem Shivim Shana. A person is mispalal that he should have a fulfilled life till he turns 70. So what if I'm 80 years old already? Right? Baruch Hashem nowadays, many people live past 70. So what is the tefillah that you say then? Should you continue to say the regular nusach that we have in the Siddur? Or do you say, no, it doesn't make sense, it's not applicable to me? So that's a shayla that the Mati Ephraim has also in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, because he's talking over there that saying Tehillim Rosh Hashanah time, so that's a question also that he has. So basically, when it comes to the Yehi Ratzon for the Chola, so this is the Shiloh that Reb Shlomo Kluger is bothered with in his Elef HaShlomo. Should we assume that a person, when he's being mispala for a woman, has to change the Nusach or not? So he comes up with a very big Chiddush, and that is, he says in the Tefillah for the Chola, we say, basically, that we're calling upon the Schus of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, of the Abbas, or the Yimos. So generally we have, in the Nusach, we say, B'schus Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. So he says, well, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov only had Ramach Evarim, so how can we say now, Reish Nun Beis Evarim? That wouldn't make sense. So he says, the reason we use Ramach Evarim is because we're only calling upon the schus of the Ramach Evarim of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. I don't know, it's a little bit strange to say that, because, so what are you going to say? So a woman who has more Evarim, Avram Avinu can't help her out? What if the Evar that's sick in the woman is something that Avram Avinu didn't have? So what are you going to say then? So it's a little bit of a big chiddush to say such a thing, but basically if you look in Rav Moshe's Tshuvas, and Rav Moshe really is not the first one to say this, one of the Talmidei HaArizal writes in the Siddur Shahar Kolel, the same idea, that when we're being mispala for a woman, it's in fact not proper to say Ramach Evareha Ushisa Gida. Instead, we're supposed to say L'chol Evareha U'L'chol Gida. We're supposed to change the Nusach and say actually a different idea that really applies to the women themselves, because they don't have Ramach Evarim, they just have Kol Evarim, they have more. So that's what Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, and that's also what other Svarim before Rav Moshe came along also say, that we should recite L'chol Evareha L'chol Gideh. They say an interesting idea, just the right time of year to say over the story. They say a story about the Satma Rav, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, I think they say his Yartzeit was last week, that's what Sandra Schwartz told me, so... Too bad he's not here, but you can tell him. Yeah, he might still be being misspelled there. But basically, so they say a story that the Satma Rav was together with Rav Moshe once, on one occasion, I'm sure on more than one occasion, but basically they were having a conversation, and Rav Moshe asked the Satma Rav, he said, "Nu, you're a Rebbe, a lot of people come to you that you should be misspelled for them for Refuah Shleim." So he says, "What's the pshat? You give them a bracha, you should have a Refuah Shleim. Why don't you just say you should have a Refuah? What does it mean, Refuah Shleim?" Okay, interesting question. So the Satmar Rav said, "Well, you're the God of Ador. Tell me, when you're mispala, do you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a tshuva, or we should hachzireinu b'tshuva shleima lefanecha?" So Rav Moshe says, "Okay, interesting question." So he says, "You answer first. What are you going to say? How come you give a bracha, or you're mispala, that we should have a tshuva shleima? You're asking a kasha me why I give someone a bracha, you should have a refuah shleima? Everyone says a refuah shleima." So Rav Moshe answered, he said, "No, by tshuva it makes sense to me, because the Rambam writes that part of the tshuva process is a person should be so clear about the tshuva that he's doing. He should have such a clear conviction that he wants never to do the old averus again, that the Rambam tells us it should be to the point sheyayid alav yodea taluma shelo yashiv bazeh hachet la'olam. It should be so convincing that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself could be made on us that we'll never do this again. That," said Rav Moshe, "is what we're giving the person a bracha. Not just that you should be shav b'tshuva, that's what we're being mispala for. Not just that I should have the courage to get over it this time, or to get over this avera that I did this year. No, it's tshuva shleima, that to the point that the Ribbono Shel Olam should be made on me, that I was shav b'tshuva shleima, that I will never do it again. That's how sure I should be about my tshuva, that's how powerful it should be. That's the way Rav Moshe explained what a tshuva shleima actually means." Well, said the Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, "If that's the pshat in tshuva shleima, then I can explain what it means, refuah shleima. Not only are we being mispala to the Ribbono Shel Olam that this time when the person is sick, he should have a refuah in this particular problem that he has, but he says, no, we're being mispala for the future as well, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should never send such a makah on this individual again, or anything else. He should be complete, and he should continue to be complete, ad mei ve'esrim shana." That is what the Satmar Rav responded. That's what the pshat is in Tshuva Shleima. Well, based on that idea, maybe this is also what we ask, that we should have a Geula Shleima. It's not just that we should get out of this particular tzara that we find ourselves in. We ask the Ribbono Shel Olam that we want a Geula Shleima to the point that, what? It should be a kibbutz galus once and for all, never to be in galus again. That's the bracha, that's the tefillah that we're being mispalo for, that we don't want to ever find ourselves in this situation again. In the Sefer Darkei Chaim V'Shalom, they write a story about the Munkach Rav, when he, the original Munkach Rav, the Darkei Tshuva, that when he was mispalo, he used to daven for the Amud every Shabbos Mevarchim. So it says that when he got to Shabbos Mevarchim Rosh Chodesh Elul, so he got up by the Bima, and as he was being mispalo, as he was davening for the new month, so obviously people in the room felt the seriousness, they felt the shudder in his voice. So they write over there that the Darkei Tshuva used to scream out in the middle that we're being mispalo for all these things, that we want a Nusach Svard, it's a lot more expansive than our Nusach Ashkenaz, but basically he used to scream out an extra piece in the Tefillah, the Tshuva Shleima. Before Chodesh Elul, he would say that we're asking the Ribbono Shel Olam for a new bakasha. We want that he should give us the strength during Chodesh Elul and beyond to have that opportunity to do the Tshuva Shlema. Just let's end with the Sefer Charedim that the Shalah quotes, and that is, L'kach tiknu ala tshuva bracha bifnei atzma. Why do we have a bracha in and of itself that was instituted in the Shemona Esrei for tshuva? Where does that come from? So he says, because tzarach lechavin ba yosem yikala bracha sarim tzos. Says the Shalah, quoting the Sefer Charedim, that a person has to be mechavin in this bracha of tshuva more seriously than in any of the other brachas. Why? What do you mean? Let's say I don't care about it. It doesn't hurt me so much. When I'm sick, it really bothers me. When I have some spiritual sickness, not so bad. Zakta Sefer Charedim lefishahu ta'elas hanefesh urufuasa. The same way we'll get up and say Tehillim for a chola who's sick. The same way we'll get up and we'll be mispala for ourselves or for someone in our families or a friend of ours that we know is sick. Sotu says the Sefer Charedim, this is the to'elas ha-nefesh urufuasa. If we want to have a spiritual recovery, if we want to actually become healthy yet once again in our spiritual senses, then we actually have to have more kavana in the bracha of Hashiveinu than we have in the rest of the brachas, because this is what we're asking for. And then he continues and he says, Kashem shechayiv adam le'espalel al atzmo, the same way a person is mechuyiv to be mespalel on himself, that he should have the courage to do the tshuva shlema. Same way we would be mespalel for ourselves to have a refuah, so too he says, kachayiv le'espalel al poshe Yisrael. So too a person has to go out of his way and be mespalel also for the other people who are not going to take it so seriously, who are not really going to take it to heart, have to be mespalel that they also should be offered that opportunity, as we see in Sota Daf Yudalu. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was mespalel also for those who are sick. The pasuk says la poshim yavgiyah. Moshe Rabbeinu was mespalel even for the poshim. So that is just an idea, just to take home a little bit when we're talking about refuahs, and with the Satmar Rav's beautiful pshat of refuah shlema, we should institute that into our tefillos when we're asking for a tshuva shlema as well. This is what we want, but not only for ourselves, we want it for everybody else as well. That's what the Makaris and Chazal tell us. We have a responsibility to be mispalel for everybody, for the community as a whole, that we should all take this opportunity of tshuva seriously, and we should all use it to the best of its ability. Have a wonderful evening.